Welcome, everybody, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. We've just been chatting informally about last weekend, which was the Community Miracle Center's A Course in Miracles conference in New York City, and we all had, those of us who were there, had a lot of fun. Does anybody on the line have anything additional they'd like to share or say about how the conference
went? I have one question. I would just like your opinion of the Course in Miracles as a religion, because Reverend Tony suggested that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure how I feel about it, so I just thought I'd ask what your take is on that, Corinne.
You know, I am one of those people that he sort of referred to that, like, you know, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And I, to me, I don't need to make the course anything more than being a pathway. Like, I don't feel the need to call it a religion or, I don't know. I just have tended to not thought of it that way in that, you know, it goes back to the line for me, forget this world, forget this course, and come with holy empty hands unto your God. It just, it's one path of many. And so, I don't know that I fully resonate with that, but that's okay. It sounds
That's basically how I feel too.
Yeah. I'm sure others do too.
So Corinne, what were the numbers like? Like, how many people were there?
There were 522 who were registered,
oh,
and I think 502 actually showed up. So there's always,
wow,
you know, an attrition. But yeah, it was a good, healthy group of people, and overwhelming too, just because there's, you know, such an energy and so many people there and so many speakers, and you know, you don't always have the opportunity to see every single speaker. So it was also, you know, it was fantastic but exhausting at the same time. So yeah, very good crowd, and I know they already have almost 300 people going to the Las Vegas conference next year. And I'll just actually repeat again that if anybody listening to the recording feels inspired to go to the conference in Vegas, there's a pre-launch price right now. Don't quote me. I just sent this out. I want to say it's $349 before. It's a pre-launch price, and if anybody's interested, email me and I can send you the information on how to order a ticket. And if you feel moved to say you signed up through Miracle Share, yeah. Any other reflections? I know Carla. Did you have a good time at the conference? Carla might be on mute. And
yeah, I was. I was on mute. Yeah, I actually did. I had a really good time. I know that I was overstimulated too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how to pace myself in that type of situation again. I didn't think that, I didn't even give that a thought that would be a possibility, but it happened. So I came home like just tired, and I don't want to go to a retreat and come home tired. So
uh-huh.
I'm making more. You know, I'm making that commitment to myself.
Right.
But actually, I did just come home from a retreat. I was in South Jersey. I was with Regina. She did a retreat in Morristown.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was fantastic. And I got to just review some stuff I had known, happened upon, and learn some other stuff. Because for me right now, it's just really that commitment to getting behind my personality and allowing who I really am to step up. And so I've just been really just interested in ways I could do it. And if I need some assistance, well, I just go get it. You know, it's no different than when I wanted to get a college degree in profession and all that stuff. I just went to school and got what I needed. So it's the same thing for me. That's the kind of commitment I have going on right now. So her retreat was fantastic this weekend.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Wonderful to hear. All right, well, how about we do some reading? This is an awesome section that we're in. You all left off last week, so if you have the Sparkle edition of the book, it's page 319. And it's the very, very, very last paragraph on page 319. It begins with, "No penalty is ever asked of God's Son." So that's Sparkle edition, page 319. If you have the original edition, it is chapter 13, part 8, paragraph 70. If you have the print copy of the book, that would be page 268. So again, in the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it's chapter 13, part 8, paragraph 70. And last but not least, in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is page 275. It's paragraph number 6. So again, it begins, "No penalty is ever asked of God's Son." I will also just apologize in advance if you hear some chirping or squawking in the background. I have 6 baby chicks. We are now parents of little 6 baby chickens, which is so funny, and they always know when I need it quiet in the room, just like Paula, your cats. And
oh, I lock them up. There's no stopping them.
So
what, do you have a coop?
Yes, we're setting it up now for them. They're too little to put it out there yet, but
you're
going to
have eggs.
We're going to have eggs. We're going to have
eggs. Oh, that's exciting.
It is fun. All right, so let's get
you
started.
You got a rooster?
No rooster. Just eggs. We don't want to upset the neighbors. All right, let's dive in. Actually, let's pause. Before we start reading, let's just close our eyes briefly. And let's take 3 mindful breaths together. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, and we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. With the love in your heart and light in your minds coming together to read. All right. No penalty is ever asked of God's Son except by himself and of himself. Every chance given him to heal is another opportunity to replace darkness with light and fear with love. If he refuses it, he binds himself to darkness because he did not choose to free his brother and enter light with him. By giving power to nothing, he threw away the joyous opportunity to learn that nothing has no power. And by not dispelling darkness, he became afraid of darkness and of light. The joy of learning that darkness has no power over the Son of God is the happy lesson the Holy Spirit teaches and would have you teach with him. It is his joy to teach it as it will be yours. It is his joy to teach it as it will be yours. I love this paragraph because it starts out with saying, again, in other words, there is no sacrifice. Oh, my goodness. Do you hear these chickens in the background? Sorry. I can't help but laugh. If I start just laughing, forgive me. This paragraph also, to me, really speaks to how there's no ego backlash. I know we talk about an ego backlash as if it's an actual thing that happens. And so I feel like that creates fear of the ego, like it's this force out to get us. And yet it says right here, by giving power to nothing, we threw away the joyous opportunity to learn that nothing has no power. So literally when we're choosing with the ego, we're just choosing with nothing. There's nothing there. It's no force. It's just nothingness. And any effect that seems to happen is simply coming from our becoming afraid of love again, our withdrawing. So I just really like thinking about that. It's been helpful for me because I know at times I was like, oh gosh, I'm afraid of my own ego, but the ego is absolutely nothing. As Deidre has shared before in previous calls, even by calling it the ego, we're making it into a thing. And that's why, Deidre, I love how you refer to it as Taz or the for the Taz the devil. But yeah, it really is just a belief in nothingness. so, and nothingness certainly has no power to hurt us. Anything come up so far for anybody in this first paragraph? Okay, let's read the next paragraph. The way to teach this simple lesson is merely this. Guiltlessness is invulnerability. Therefore, make your invulnerability manifest to everyone and teach him that, whatever he may try to do to you, your perfect freedom from the belief that you can be harmed shows him he is guiltless. He can do nothing that can hurt you. And by refusing to allow him to think he can, you teach him that the atonement which you have accepted for yourself is also his. There is nothing to forgive. No one can hurt the Son of God. His guilt is wholly without cause, and being without cause cannot exist. This paragraph reminds me of a time when I was going through a really challenging time with a family member who's not a course student, and they were just blowing up at me for things that my ego was screaming, defend yourself, you didn't do this, you know, defend yourself, defend yourself, defend yourself. And I recognized that after I've been having just been practicing the course for so long, that by engaging, you know, getting into this attack defense cycle, I'm just keeping it going. And instead, with my tiny bit of willingness and actually also a lot of willingness, I have to say, because it was a really intense situation, I instead was willing to practice the course completely, meaning wholeheartedly giving the situation to the Holy Spirit, getting quiet, not attacking back, only because I had been down that path already many, many times with that person. So if we feel that we need to engage, we can do it, but we can also offer it to Spirit, and we can trust that any ego that's there will fall away when we're ready to let it go. So in this particular situation, when I chose to not engage in the typical cycle that we had been in for many, many years, the whole situation shifted. They called me back, apologized, just out of the blue. I was shocked. It was really quite a profound learning experience for me. So I do want to emphasize that we do have to be where we're at. So if we feel betrayed or that somebody hurt us and we're upset about it, we need to feel our feelings and take them to the Holy Spirit when we're ready to do so.
Corinne?
Yes.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because that was something that, so like maybe a little bit over a year ago when I first was in the course, and even now sometimes the challenge becomes, okay, I'm aware of what this in my mind should like based on, should look like, or how I should respond based on what I'm learning. And then, but then there's the reality of how I'm actually feeling. And I end up getting really, really confused sometimes of how to respond, because I think, oh, gosh, well, if I say this, this, and that, I'm judging. Okay, so let me not judge. And then if I don't judge, but in my heart I feel contempt, and, like, sometimes I get so mad at the course, and I'm like, I'm freaking trying, you know? So I just really appreciate that you brought that up, because you know, that's something, and just from other just groups that I've seen online and different people talking about the course, I think there tends to be, there's a constant struggle of, you know, just being confused about like how you should respond and deal with things once you are aware of, you know, aspects that the course teaches in terms of like non-judgment. So I'm just glad that you brought that up about just being where you are.
Yeah, yeah. It's really important, because if we're not where we're at, if we're not, one of the things in the conference that Reverend Tony said that I really loved was, and Paula and Carla, I'm sure you heard this, it was in the very last session. He said, did you pee this morning, or have you peed today? And of course, or maybe it was, raise your hand if you haven't peed. And of course, nobody raises their hands. And he's like, you believe you're a body. And therefore, you know, we have to be where we're at. We can't intellectually say it should be this way, or I should do it this way. Mm-hmm. Shoulding, there's a psychologist, famous psychologist, his name's Dr. Albert Ellis, and he coined the term how we should on ourselves. Shoulding is of the ego. If we think we should do it a certain way, we can be sure, we can be certain that there's some expectation in there or some judgment on how the situation should look versus, again, owning, being fully where we're at. And again, all we're asked to do is to take everything to the Holy Spirit to let grievances be replaced for miracles. And so the should, how it should look, ends up happening spontaneously as we take our tiny bit of willingness to the Holy Spirit. The should situation ends up just happening rather than us trying to force it. Paula, what are we going to add?
Yeah, I was with a person this weekend who makes me feel extremely uncomfortable. She's a family member, and whenever she gets into the mix, I just get such anxiety, and I don't want to be around her, and, you know, please. And then I'm feeling my feelings, which is, God, I'm blowing it as a course student, and all the judgments that come with all of that. And on the way home, I just realized, I feel miserable. I feel absolutely awful about this. And once again, to me, the solution is page 90. And if I repeated that, I must have decided wrongly because I'm not at peace once. I went through it maybe 3 or 4 times, and I'm telling you, it is lifted. And every time, I would be tempted to start thinking about that again, this God's will for us is happiness. It's not that miserable feeling of judgment, and not only of this person, but of myself. It's, again, when you're not thinking with God, you're not thinking at all. You're literally not thinking when you're doing that. So, the Holy Spirit truly is the answer and will take it as soon as we're willing to turn it over.
It's so true.
And it's such a relief to know that, and it's a tremendous relief to just realize I don't have to do this to myself. Mm-hmm. And that girl is free to live her life the way she wants to live it, even though I personally am horrified by it on some level. It's none of my business.
Yep, it's perfect. I can completely resonate with what you're saying because I was recently in a situation where I was feeling like somebody did something to me, but there's still the temptation to like intellectualize the course, to be like, all right, I'm going to forgive my brother, I'm willing to let it go, but not really doing so. say the words, but you don't really do it, and it's that page 90 that makes you actually do it because it's that prayer, it's that turning to the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit shift it for you. It's not us doing the forgiving, it's us allowing the Holy Spirit to do the forgiveness for us.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
What is that final line on that? The Holy Spirit will give it to God for you.
Yes. The Holy Spirit will decide for God for me.
The Holy Spirit will decide for God for you. Mm-hmm. Come on. Does it get any better than that?
Right. We don't have to do anything.
We don't have to know it.
We do so little. It's so insulting to our egos. We want to make it so much more complicated. Oh, cool. Let's read another paragraph. God is the only cause, right? That's where I am. Yes. God is the only cause, and guilt is not of him. Teach no one he has hurt you, for if you do, you teach yourself that what is not of God has power over you. The causeless cannot be. Do not attest to it, and do not foster belief in it in any mind. Remember always that mind is one and cause is one. You will learn communication with this oneness only when you learn to deny the causeless and accept the cause of God as yours. The power that God has given to his Son is his, and nothing else can his Son see or choose to look upon without imposing on himself the penalty of guilt in place of all the happy teaching the Holy Spirit would gladly offer him. There's something about that last sentence that really strikes me. I want to read it again. The power that God has given to his Son is his, and nothing else can his Son see or choose to look upon without imposing on himself the penalty of guilt in place of all the happy teaching the Holy Spirit would gladly offer him. I love that. We're imposing guilt on ourselves, or we're allowing the happy teachings of the Holy Spirit to be given us.
That's exactly what I was just talking about.
It is. It absolutely is. And that second sentence, teach no one he has hurt you, for if you do, you teach yourself that what is not of God has power over you. So again, we can't do this of ourselves. Think about the strain this would be if, like, you know, think about the last time somebody did something that bugged you. And we're just going to say, okay, I'm going to just teach that he hasn't hurt me, and I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to be fine with this. That's the, you know, intellectual part of doing the course versus, again, that being where we're at, giving it to the Holy Spirit, and going through our lesson rather than skipping over it and then letting it sort of, again, come about that we learn that nobody has hurt us because nothing has been done.
There are just certain hooks, you know, that the ego tempts us with that are challenging. But really, there are no difficulty, there is no order of difficulty in miracles. And I have to remember that when I'm in certain situations. Whenever children are involved in, you know, the drama, I really have a hard time separating, you know, myself from those situations, or my opinions and judgments.
Yeah, we're certainly going to have areas that feel a lot more challenging than others, and those are where our lessons lie.
Yeah.
And again, our tiny bit of willingness to turn to the Holy Spirit in those circumstances, too.
Yeah, and the Holy Spirit is not limited by those hooks, you know.
No, absolutely.
So
not.
That's a real blessing.
That is. Has anybody had anything come up for you so far in our readings tonight?
I just think for me, like, what's really been coming up lately is no matter what you think is going on, you can't ever be off your path. Like, the small mind will maybe make you think that you're off your path, and I'll give you a little example. Most people who listen to the calls or have been on the calls know that I've spoken about applying for grad school recently and scholarships and things, but there's some other layers to the story that I think are worth sharing, and I'll try to do it quickly. Corinne, you can always
cut me off.
So when I got my first, I'm going back into the past only because I think that it's relevant. Most of the time I don't deal with anything that happens in the past, but I think this is relevant because when we're misaligned with the false self, we can tell ourselves all kinds of stories. And when I earned my undergraduate degree, it was in fine arts. And at the time, I wasn't a Course in Miracles student at the time at all. I've always considered myself to be quite spiritual, but that wasn't where I was on my path. And when I started my undergraduate degree, I was doing theater and education, and I wanted to be a teacher. And in the middle of that, my first year of training, they shut down the theater and education program. And I was like, oh, crap, so I've got to change my major now. And so I did that, and it was fine, but it wasn't really what I wanted to do. And so, of course, I went into the story of, well, yeah, I got my degree, but it wasn't in what I wanted, and I'm not really using it for anything. So I, like, heaped on a pile of guilt about all these things, about, like, you know, how I had earned scholarships all the way through that, and I earned that degree, but I'm not really using it for anything. Fast forward to 2010, when I'm just on the cusp of being introduced to A Course in Miracles, but I hadn't really gotten there. And I started this degree thinking, you know, okay, learning about websites and design and everything could be a really lucrative career. It could be something that I could really do. And I got into that program, and there was a lot of, I'm a very creative person. I'm artistic, and I love that part of things, but I'm not mathematical. I'm not a computer programmer. So there were times during that program where I absolutely, you know, I had crying fits. I wanted to quit because I hated the programming side of the program so much. And then I started, you know, really tapping into my work with angels and accepting who I am, accepting that I am love, and accepting that I'm psychic and a medium and all of these things, and really started coming home. I really felt like I'd found myself, and a lot of unhealthy relationships and things that I had chosen to do sort of fell away from my life, and I completely turned my life around. And meanwhile, I was still in this program. I wasn't really feeling, you know, really called to finish it, but I had started this journey, and something just kept telling me to finish, 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 even though I wanted to go in another direction. So I did that, and I finished my program last week. So the reason why I wanted to bring that up was I needed my bachelor's degree to apply for grad school. So I needed that fine arts degree to be able to apply to where I am right now. So what I thought was a failure at the time, and I beat myself up for repeatedly for years, you know, crying fits, thinking I was a failure, feeling bad about myself, really low self-esteem, blah, blah, every story you can think of. Now I need the degree, and I'm using the degree to apply for grad school. I finished my other college program, the one that haven't been really passionate about, but I've been able to apply a lot of the things that I've learned to my business now, and I can see the value in it. But because I stuck with it and finished the program, I am now eligible to apply for scholarships that I wouldn't have been able to apply for had I quit.
Wow.
So now, just a minute, it gets even more interesting. In November, I should back up a little bit. I happened to be talking to a friend one day, and they were saying to me, we were having a conversation, and they were describing their program to me and saying that they take a class on spirituality. And in my heart and in my mind, I was thinking, like, I was listening to the person talk, and I was thinking, geez, you know, that just feels really good. Like, that just feels like that is what I should be doing. But I had this stuff to finish for my other program, so I kind of let it go. But I kept getting these intuitive feelings, like I should be looking into where to study, and I should be looking into where to go. But then the fake self, the ego self, the Taz self, kept telling me, well, like, think about how old you are and how much education you've already done already, and, like, how old you'll be when you're finished this program. And, like, all of that craziness. And I just thought, yeah, well, maybe, I don't know. And then I was listening to Doreen Birchie one day on her Hay House radio show, and she was giving a reading to a lady in her 50s who is considering going back to school. And I just was listening to this reading, and I knew that the reading was not only for her, but it was also for me. And the gist of the message was, you're never too old to stop learning. You're never too old to follow your life purpose. So
Paige,
I really, yes.
How old are you?
I'm 37.
Oh, my God. You're a baby.
I know.
Keep going. Keep going.
I know. So then all of this stuff keeps going, and I'm researching schools, and I have that meeting where the lady tells me, oh, I need a bachelor's degree, and then I realize that I can use my fine arts degree to apply. So I do that, and then I apply to the school that I felt particularly called towards. The school's, I haven't heard an official word from them yet, but I have a really good feeling about it, still waiting on that. In the meantime, every single person I've asked for help, like the doors have just gone flying open to me. Everyone has said, you need a reference? Absolutely. Here's your reference. You need more than that? Here's this. Here's that. Here's that. I'd done some volunteer work speaking at a class for persons with disabilities. And the guy who runs that class is like, absolutely, I'll be a character reference for you. Anything you need, just let me know. You know, the people in the faculty are writing letters for me. Just doors are just flying open, right? And I'm like, I have the occasional moment of fear where I'm like, okay, how do I pay for this? What's going to happen? Blah, blah, blah. But I'm continuously taking that to spirit. And so fast forward to last Thursday. I'm at the last day of my college program for advanced communication design, which is the web and graphic design program I've been doing. And for the last 2 weeks prior to that, I'd in my mind had these intuitive feelings that I should really go talk to the international department at the college. And so I do. And I'm there, and it's my last day that I'm supposed to be on campus. And I knock on the door, and the lady comes out, and I explain to her, I applied for a master's, and it's not in Canada. It's a rare program, so it'll be outside of Canada. And I'm looking for funding opportunities, and I'm wondering if you can give me information. And she said, I'm so glad you came. She said, we just put out these applications today. And she proceeds to point out to me two specific scholarship things that are for what's called domestic students. And that means students that are leaving Canada to study abroad. She specifically goes out to tell me that I would have a really good chance of being awarded this scholarship because I'm a domestic student, not an international student, and that I should really apply. And then she says to me, will you have moving expenses? Will you have to relocate for your program? And I said, yes. And I'm saying yes, but I'm trying not to laugh because it's just like everything's lining up. One thing after one thing after one thing after one thing. And I'm not doing it.
No.
I'm not doing it, you guys. This is the thing. Like, I'm just, like, I'm filling out things and doing things when I feel guided to, but I'm not manipulating anything. I'm not, you know, if it turns out that it's some other school, that's fine. But it's just like, the doors just fly open, and that's what it feels like when you know you're following
your bliss.
And it's like if I hadn't went through every one of those little steps, you know, there were so many times, you guys, I can't even tell you, that I wanted to quit my design program because I was so unhappy doing it, but I stuck it out. And specifically, I would not be eligible to be applying for these scholarships had I not stuck it out.
Wow.
You cannot be off your path. You just
I have to tell you, Deidre, I have to tell you, I was 38 when I, and communication design was my path, and I was 38 when I went back to college, and I had people saying to me, oh, you're too old. I never, ever listened to what anybody had to say because I loved what I was doing.
Yeah.
I didn't care what anybody had to say. Just so long as I loved what I was doing, and I'm telling you, I have had some of the, and I did not go all that far because I really had to get out to work because my daughter is an artist and wanted to go to art school, and it was all very expensive. So I managed to get in like 4 years, and then I went out into the work world. I have had one good job after the next. I always knew something. If I got laid off, something better is coming. It always, and I wound up having, I hated commuting. I wound up with a job around the corner from home in an industrialized area where I couldn't spend a dime because I was always working near a town. You know, I was always spending too much money. I wanted to be more practical about. Well, at any rate, just keep going, girl.
Well, it's like
just keep going. Age has nothing to do with anything.
No, I'm over the age thing. That was months ago. I just included that because had I listened to that, I would never have done any of this. I would never have applied for anything. I would have stopped right there if had I listened to that voice.
But I
didn't listen, and just continually. I've been guided. That's all I've been doing. And I feel like the really strong call, I don't even know what the picture looks like, but I feel like I'm supposed to be combining mediumship and angel work with holistic therapy. And so that's the program that I've applied to do. And somehow, like, I don't know where it came from, but we had to write this, 8 to 10 page statement of why we were applying to the program, and it just came out of me that I'm going to be like head of a holistic clinic, so we'll see.
I love it.
Yeah.
Deidre, thank you so much for sharing that, and I feel like it was really helpful for you to share all the detail that you did. What you said so certainly, you said this so confidently, you cannot be off your path. And I just wanted to like re-highlight that because your story is such a perfect example of that. And the course says, it talks about how everything is orchestrated. There's never any accidents. Even our time to awaken has been set. And so we can't be off of our path. If we think again that we need to be somewhere else or whatever, we can't be off of our path. So I feel like I thank you so much for
there's
sharing.
Something else.
And that's so.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to add really quick that even sometimes when every time when it even doesn't feel like doors are opening or things are going the way you think, you're still on the path. And sometimes you find out later.
Yeah.
I know, totally. That's what this whole experience has been like. Oh, so that's what that was for. Oh, so that's what that was for. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, like, another thing, like, I've always been someone in my life that I hate labels. Like I don't say hate, but like I don't adhere to labeling. I never have. But I've learned through this that sometimes labels can be very helpful. And what I mean by that is like, as a Canadian citizen, you have medical status as a person with disability, which is what I have. I was born with certain disability. I don't talk about it because I don't see myself as a quote-unquote disabled person. That's not how I live my life, but I'm using this label now. I will have to apply for permission from the Canadian government to receive disability benefit, it's called. It's like social assistance while you're not working. So if you're a student or you're unable to work, you're entitled to a certain amount of money every month. And I found out through this process that if you're leaving the country for 30 days and it has nothing to do with education, then you're not qualified to take advantage of that funding. But if you are specifically leaving the country for education, you can still use that money, which means that part of my living expenses will be paid for, provided that I have permission from the Canadian government to do that. And I don't see why they would refuse me, because legally they can't, because it's a law. So it's just like all of these things, like, it's just like, holy moly.
I'm really happy for you, but I'm really happy for us too, because this is for the benefit of all. Like, your story, your example, your sharing, like the miracles that you're experiencing, this is never for any of us alone. The course talks about how there's undreamed of changes we couldn't possibly even comprehend each time we allow ourselves to receive that miracle instead. So I thank you.
Oh, and Corinne, you're part of this too. Okay, I have to bring this up. Do you remember the conversation that we had after I came back from the conference with Lisa Natoli? You called me on the phone, and we talked, and I said, what did I say I wanted to do? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
I said
you wanted to go back to school then for counseling?
No, I said I wanted to get into counseling. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but that's what I said. And do you remember where I said I wanted to go?
No.
I said I wanted to be somewhere warm, preferably California.
Right.
Well, that's where the school is.
It's in California.
It's in California.
Oh, my God.
I forgot about that conversation. I do remember. I do specifically remember you saying that you wanted it to be somewhere warm. California. That's awesome. Oh, thank you, Deidre, so much for sharing.
I'm going to be blogging about it, so.
Good. Write about it. Keep sharing.
Thank you for letting me share such a lengthy story, but I
thank
felt.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing.
Wonderful.
It's really powerful and such a beautiful example for all of us that we cannot be off our path. We cannot be off our path. And one thing that I'll just mention, too, about that, how I said, how the Course says, you know, the time for our awakening has been set. Each time we let guilt be undone in our mind, each time, again, we experience those miracles, that's where we experience that celestial speed-up that the Course talks about, meaning, you know, that the ego script gets collapsed. There's our path to truth quickens, in a sense, in that, you know, we've learned certain things and don't need to learn them again. I have a blog post that I'll be publishing on Tuesday, and I won't get into details now, but it was just about a dream that my mom had where the Course in the editions that we're reading, so it's been edited out of the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, but there's a reference in the original and Sparkle editions to the records. There's even more references to the record in the Urtext, which is even less edited than the edition that we're reading from. And it's not exactly sure what the record is referring to, but it's been speculated that it's something like called the Akashic Record or the Book of Life, which is
Akashic Record is mentioned in angel work, just so you know.
Oh, interesting. So it's I think of it in terms of Course terms, of every mistaken thought we are holding to keep love out. It's every block that we still have in our mind to love's presence. So my mom had this dream, and I don't remember what I was going through at the time, but basically we were in a church with a priest, and I was given this book on this particular page. There are many pages for me, but I erased what was on this page because I no longer needed to teach it because I learned it. And so that, to me, just reminded me of this idea of the celestial speed-up, that as we learn lessons, you know, our path to truth, it's never far off because it's already happened and done in here, but it's closer. There's that idea of the celestial speed up. So I just wanted to share that briefly because I felt moved too.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. it was really healing for me, very healing. And I couldn't tell you for the life of me what the lesson was that I was going through at the time. It is gone. It is just, I have no memory of it whatsoever, which is also kind of cool. Let's go ahead and read another paragraph. Whenever you decide to make decisions for yourself, you are thinking destructively, and the decision will be wrong. It will hurt you because of the concept of decision which led to it. It is not true that you can make decisions by yourself or for yourself alone. No thought of God's Son can be separate or isolated in its effects. Every decision is made for the whole Sonship, directed in and out and influencing a constellation larger than anything you ever dreamed of. Those who accept the atonement are invulnerable. But those who believe they are guilty will respond to guilt because they think it is salvation and will not refuse to see it and side with it. And they will fail to understand the simple fact that what they do not want must hurt them. So this reminded me just, again, of thanking Deidre for the miracles that you've been, you know, receiving and experiencing. It says so clearly that we can't make decisions by ourselves or for ourselves alone. So as each of us experiences, you know, anything, it's for each other. And I love how it says that it's influencing a constellation larger than anything we can dream of, than we've ever dreamed of. So with this first sentence, whenever you decide to make decisions for yourself, you are thinking destructively and the decision will be wrong. It will hurt you because of the concept of... Whoops, got a lot of stuff. Thank you, whoever just took care of that.
Yeah.
So in other words, as we choose for nothingness, a.k.a. the ego, we're reinforcing that in our own mind and, you know, responding to others as if that is something, as if that's real, therefore reinforcing it in their own minds. As we instead turn to the Holy Spirit, we're strengthening this different thought system. We're sharing this idea and strengthening it in one another's minds, which, of course, as we know, leads to healing. So it's just, this is just really comforting to me, just to see again more language about how we're never healed alone. We're all going home together, hand in hand. Let's read another paragraph. All this arises because they do not believe that what they want is good. Yet will was given them because it is holy, and will bring to them all that they need, coming as naturally as peace that knows no limits. There is nothing their wills will not provide that offers them anything of value. Yet because they do not understand their will, the Holy Spirit quietly understands it for them and gives them what they will without effort, strain, or the impossible burden of deciding what they want and need alone. There it is again, the Holy Spirit doing it for us. That
yep.
last sentence. Isn't that
yep.
awesome?
Yep.
We don't understand our will, which is God's will, which is love, which is pure joy. We don't understand it, but we don't have to, because the Holy Spirit will understand it for us, again, if we just give the Holy Spirit our willingness. And how it says, give them what they will, without effort, strain, or the impossible burden of deciding what they want and need alone. So when we decide what we want and need, we're putting in our minds an impossible burden because we have no idea. We have no idea. We don't know what anything is for. We don't know what we really want and need, but the Holy Spirit does.
Yeah, that was really interesting, too, part of the story. And after this, I'll stop, I promise. But
I
had no plans to apply for school. Like, I had an idea that counseling was my, you know, where my gifts were at, but I didn't, I was just going to continue building my personal practice up. I had no plans at all. Like, I was just going to, and just one day, all these hints about going back to school started showing up in my life, and I didn't really even know I even wanted it until I submitted my application. It was really funny. Like, after I wrote the application, I was like, gee, yeah, I guess I really do want to go to that school. And
awesome.
Yeah, so it's been really interesting.
Yeah, certainly.
That last paragraph, can I be heard? Sometimes I'm talking to myself.
We're hearing you.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That reminds me of what I'm doing with my other group. We're actually reading Rules for Decision Making.
Mm.
Chapter 30, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is. Anyway, we are reading that. Chapter 30, yes, it is. And it's very interesting because it begins with, today I will make no decisions by myself. So I have to decide, I have to come up with the kind of day I want. And the course is telling me the kind of day I want.
Uh-huh.
The day I want. Yeah, it's full. It's a day of peace and love and such. And I don't get to decide on the form that comes in. You know, today I will make no decisions by myself. And if I make no decisions by myself, this is the day that will be given me. And it also talks about how I make decisions all the time, just automatically. And there's a restorative right here, too. I have no question. I forgot what to decide.
Yeah.
You know, because my understanding is rooted in a mistaken orientation to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, at least I can decide. I do not like what I feel now. And so I hope I have been wrong. I want another way to look at this. So when I heard that paragraph, that's what it reminded me of, like the automatic decisions that I still make, and how if I'm able to invite spirit into all of my decision-making processes, that all will certainly be well. And this is not the first time I've heard such a beautiful story of the thoughts of one deciding what it is that they did want and then not really trying to force solutions, and then all of a sudden releasing attachment to the desire and then actually getting what they wanted. I've heard that time and time again, and I'm also grateful that I don't know the brother's name that said even if I didn't get what I want, I would still be on the path too. So that was
Paul.
Good because
Paul.
Yeah, because it's so easy to bring about the jealousy and such that the ego is so familiar with, and I have experienced, because I don't know what I want to do, and that's one of the things that I struggle with from time to time. So I'm trusting that there is an answer and that all is well now, and all will continue to be well, you know, especially if I make no decisions by myself. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Carla. You know, I feel moved to just read the next paragraph, and then we'll stop there for this week, because this is exactly what you're just saying about making decisions. It will never happen that you will have to make decisions for yourself. You are not bereft of help, and help that knows the answer. Would you be content with little, which is all that you alone can offer yourself, when he who gives you everything will simply offer it to you? He will never ask what you have done to make you worthy of the gift of God. Ask it not, therefore, of yourselves. Instead, accept his answer, for he knows that you are worthy of everything God wills for you. Do not try to escape the gift of God, which he so freely and so gladly offers you. He offers you but what God gave him for you. You need not decide whether or not you are deserving of it. God knows you are.
Wow.
We never have to make a decision for ourselves. Never, ever, ever. There's help who knows the answer is with us all the time. Capital H, help. Yay. Awesome. Gosh, thank you,
awesome,
everybody,
awesome,
so much
awesome,
for your
awesome.
Participation and your sharing and your teaching. I love you all. I think I will stop recording the call, and if anybody just wants to hang out for a couple minutes and share any reflections on the conference, let's hang out for a few minutes. So thanks, everyone.